We read today from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. And I want to begin by speaking about Ephesians 2 and going back to Ephesians 1. The Bible teaches the oneness of humanity. We are in Adam, it says. We are related to one another. We only exist as persons in relationship to one another. If you, for example, put a young child, I don't think this has ever happened, but imagine a young child, a baby, being put on a desert island and being allowed to grow there, being fed by non-human means until the child grows and becomes a human being, never having seen another. That human being that grows there on the desert island will have no personality, will not be a person in the real sense of the word, will have a body, arms and legs and a brain and eyes, but not be a personality. Because our personality depends upon the people with whom we relate from our early years throughout our life. We derive our personalities from one another. I believe that we are bound together at a far, far deeper level than we have ever imagined before. You get hints of this when a mother, for example, senses that a son or a daughter is in danger, even if he or she is on the far side of the earth. Perhaps telepathy is another hint of this, that we are bound together more than we've ever imagined. Those who don't like me mentioning modern science, just switch off for 30 seconds now. Those who do, you can listen. One of the most astounding results of modern physics, very modern physics, is how the whole of nature is bound together in ways that scientists never dreamt of in previous generations. So there's no such thing as an individual electron. They simply do not exist. An electron only exists in relationship with other electrons. There is no such thing as an isolated individual electron. The whole of nature is bound together in a far deeper way than we had ever imagined before. The Bible tells us that God created all things in and through his eternal Son. Let's look, before we turn to Ephesians, to some words from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, that is by the eternal Son of God, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's precisely because of God and his eternal Son that things hold together and relate to one another. Without God, the Father, and the Son, there would be no world. There would be no electrons. There would be no persons. In him, all things relate to one another in their proper place. That's what Paul means. In Christ, everything finds its proper place in relationship to its fellow and to God. John also says a similar thing in his first chapter and the book of Hebrews as well. We are only persons because of other persons with whom we relate. And the real person is God. He is the person who makes us persons. The Father and the Son who created us in his image through his Holy Spirit, that we might be parents and children. We derive our personalities from him. Therefore, in a very deep sense, we are bound together as human beings. We are not just flesh and bone and blood and brains. We actually see through our eyes and think with our brains. We are persons and the person from whom all persons come is God, the eternal Father and the eternal Son, bound together in the eternal Spirit. We are very much one. And in a real sense, we share in one another's guilt and sin. Individually, we are responsible for what we do wrong. But we are also part of the whole of humanity, and we share in its guilt. In Adam, all have sinned, the Bible says. I'll speak more about that in a minute. Let me illustrate what I mean. You read in the newspaper or see on the television some horrible crime, maybe child abuse, maybe parents are being very, very cruel to a child. What do we feel? We feel angry with such parents at their sin. But also, we feel sorry that this is what our humanity has come to. Have you ever had this experience? Standing near to someone who commits a terrible blasphemy, an obscenity against God. And you feel terribly offended, but also at the same time, you want to say sorry to God on behalf of that person. Have you ever felt like that? If you're near to God, you will feel like that. I may have mentioned before that when my wife and I were on Mount Carmel last year, the most moving prayer was when people of different nationalities, without any prompting or organization, prayed to the Father, confessing the sins of their particular people, whether they were Swedes confessing the sin of Sweden, or English, or Scots, or American, or African. Just as Daniel, who we read in the Bible was precious and righteous before God, he confessed his sin and the sin of his people before the Father. Think of Jesus. The Son of God becomes one of us. He is not just an isolated human being who lived 1,000 miles away from here 2,000 years ago. But he is bound up with all of us. That is why he can take our sin upon himself. Precisely because we are bound up with him, he has bound himself up with us. And that is why he can die for our sins. That is why at his baptism he can stand in for us at that baptism of confession and repentance for sin and praying to the Father can stand in for all of us. Our confession of our own sin is always inadequate. The humanity of Jesus embraces us all in him and our fallen, spoilt humanity is cleansed and made perfect in Jesus. What do you think of our human predicament today? We're faced in the media with AIDS, nuclear weapons, greed, war, cruelty, racial and tribal hatreds all over the world. What does the Apostle Paul say about this? Well, in Ephesians 2, he describes the whole of humanity. He's not just talking about one particular decadent tribe. He uses the word you, and then us, and then all. What he's saying applies to all men and women. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. That is to say, we were cut off from the source of life. Cut off from God. Cut off from the source of our personalities. Therefore, our personal relationships in the world begin to disintegrate. Therefore, the world breaks up into rival nations and groups and tribes and races. And inside each nation, inside each tribe and race, there's further conflict. There's conflict within the race or tribe of people as they quarrel with one another, one family against another. And then in each family there are quarrels within the family. Because we're cut off from the source of our personality. So our human personality disintegrates. And at the deepest level, our own individual personality disintegrates and breaks up. So we are a different person that we present to the outside world than the one we are inside of ourselves. We show ourselves different to others than we are inside. Our own individual personality also breaks apart beneath the surface. And it leads to the death of the person eventually. And Paul says the cause of this is your trespasses and sins. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Trespass is a false step. It's doing what we should not do. It's being rebellious. Sins in the Greek means to miss the mark, to fall short, to omit to do the good. Trespasses and sins means that we are rebels and failures. And this applies to the whole of humanity, yet to each one of us as individuals as well. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And a corpse cannot do anything to help itself. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of this air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Paul says we're under the influence of three things: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world. He says in verse 2, you are following the ways of the world. Consumerism, materialism, The media in newspapers from page 1 to page 20. The television. Press their appalling moral and spiritual standards upon us all the time. The world, the flesh. In verse 3, Paul says, you were gratifying the cravings of your sinful nature. God has given us our desires, but we have twisted them. God has given us appetite for food, need for sleep, sexual instincts, but we twist them to gluttony, sloth, lust, and depravity. And then thirdly, the devil. In verse 2, Paul says, we were under the influence of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit at work in those who are disobedient. The devil is real. The hidden force behind much evil in the world today, even international conflicts. A member of parliament said very recently in a debate that there was a rising tide of evil in our society. That's not a clergyman, that's a member of parliament. Remember, the book of Revelation says that near the end of time, the devil will be more active because he knows his time is short. And then at the end of verse 3, Paul says, we are by nature children of wrath. The wrath of God against the cruelty of humanity is very real. It's precisely because God is love that he is angry. If he didn't love us and didn't care about us, he wouldn't mind, would he? Precisely because he does love that he minds so much, that his wrath is real. And all humanity is in the same boat. Paul says, by nature, you were children of wrath. Some people say, understandably, well, Adam started it all. I'm only a sinner because of Adam. Why blame me? The Bible doesn't say that our sin spread to us from Adam like some disease, like some bacteria spreading. No, it says this, and this is difficult for us to understand, but it says that we sinned in him. Not that his sin has spread to us like a disease. If that were so, then sin would only be a disease and there would be no guilt. It's saying really what I said at the beginning, that all humanity is bound together at a far, far deeper level than we had ever imagined before. There is a great oneness in humanity. And when we do wrong, it is our fault. And yet we all share in the sin of Adam. So Paul paints a grim picture of our human condition. Is that the end? No. In verse 4, he says, but God. That's a wonderful but. But God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved, made us alive with Christ. God, because of his great love, because of his rich in mercy, came and identified himself with our humanity in all its disintegration, sin and death. And did battle with the devil and died for us. So Jesus on the cross could say both, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And also, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. He entered right in to the disintegration of our humanity. did battle with the devil and died for us. Were you there, I asked a few weeks ago, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, you and I were there. Because Jesus bound himself up with all of us. Remember, there is no such thing as an isolated human person. We're interrelated at a very deep level. Precisely because of that, yes, we were there when Jesus died. And therefore, when he rose, we rose too. So what does Paul say in verse 5 and 6? He has made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heaven, in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who has embraced all of us now in heaven, that means, in a real sense, we are caught up into heaven as well. In one sense, all people are in Christ, risen and ascended. Paul says, because one has died for all, therefore all have died. But we need to be in Christ as individuals. Let me put it this way, Christ needs to be in us. We in him and he in us. Then what we are in him becomes real on earth in our lives and we are saved. Some of us have seen that illustration of the brick being put in water. You put a brick in a bucket of water. The brick is in the water. Is the water in the brick? Well, if the brick is porous, the water will soak in. And the brick is in the water, and the water is in the brick. But if the brick is hard and not porous, the brick is in the water, but the water is not in the brick. Objectively, we are in Christ. Have we opened our lives to him so that he can be in us? That's why Paul says to the Ephesians, that's what you are. You're in Christ in heaven. But then he says, I pray that you might know that power now in your life. But that's what he's praying in verse in chapter 1, verse 19. You may know his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every title that we can give, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. Paul prays that we should know his power, firstly, the power of his resurrection. The Bible says that death is the last enemy. We can postpone death with medical progress. We can be victorious over TB, smallpox, the plague, malaria. Maybe one day we'll be victorious over AIDS. But we can't be victorious over death. Only Christ, in his resurrection, is victorious over death. And he, as Paul says, will give life to your mortal bodies. One day the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead will burst through you and give you life that will never die. We may be raised with Christ in the heavenly places, but that must be made true in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Paul says I want you to know the power of his resurrection, and then the power of his ascension, he says in verse 20 and 21. The power of his ascension. Remember, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. His authority is over all the power structures of the world. Right now, there's a power struggle going on in this country, one party versus another. Each of the power structures of the world will one day give account to him who is Lord of all. Don't forget that when you cast your vote on June the 11th. So Paul says in verse 20, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, member of parliament, prime minister, leader of the opposition, far above all these things, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And then Paul says, this power of his ascension is over the demonic forces. Remember the rising tide of evil. The time is short for the devil. He will not have the last word in the destiny of this world. For us, then, in the power of the Spirit, it is to go into all the world, to make disciples of all nations. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And then thirdly, Paul prays that the power of Jesus may be seen in us as he is not only risen and ascended, but head of the church, his body. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. Just as through the human nature of Jesus we meet with God, he who has seen me has seen the Father, so we who are in Christ and Christ in us, we are bound up with the body of Jesus and his humanity. Remember, we only exist in relationship to one another. And if Jesus has therefore bound himself up with us, and Christ dwells in us, and we dwell in him, then in a real sense, we are the body of Christ. Not just in a figurative sense. We are his humanity. The community of the people of God are, in a real sense, his body on earth, because he has embraced us all. We are in him in heaven, and he is in us on earth, if we allow his Spirit to do his work in our hearts. And it is our great responsibility to bring the saving body and blood of Christ to all the world, that they might be redeemed in him. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thou hast bound us together as human beings in Christ, in whom and for whom we have our existence, and in him and for him we are redeemed by his broken body and shed blood. May we, by your Holy Spirit, live as his body here in this world, that others, through his faith and love in us, may come to know thee, the everlasting Father, of the eternal Son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.